Well, Dave, I really hated this episode.
You did? What? What a surprise.
Yeah. I sent you the meme of Michael Scott saying, please explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Within the first 2 minutes. Because I was like, what's going on? What is this plot?
Yeah. It's very unclear. And I don't have a very strong memory of this episode. Like, it doesn't stick out in my mind as existing. It seems pretty forgettable, other than its terribleness. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for clearing that up, because you cleared up exactly nothing.
Well, we'll get into the plot a little bit and try to elucidate some of it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Star Trek, the Next Generation Rewatch podcast, where myself, a longtime Star Trek fan, and my wife, Amara, a newcomer to Star Trek,
but Tremor enthusiast,
we watch old episodes of Next Generation and compare notes, and today we are looking at Season 1, Episode 16, Too Short a Season. So this episode first aired February 8, 1988. It was written by Michael Machielian, I think, with an extra writing credit from DC Fontana, or Dorothy Fontana, who kind of came in at the last minute to make some edits and adjust the script to this fine, polished version we were gifted with today. Also directed by Rob Bowman, who the name might be familiar because he directed also Where No One Has Gone Before, The Battle, where like the Ferengi took over Picard's mind with the little orb. Yeah. And he also directed Data Lore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So pretty.
Wait, Data Lore was like one of the best episodes of the season. Then we got this.
Yep.
Business.
We did.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. Yeah. So before we get into it, Amara, did you have any general thoughts before we dive in, or you just want to go scene by scene?
Yeah. Okay. So very first thought is that like, okay, so first off, you just get like a shit ton of names thrown at you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's a Persephone, and there's this admiral named Jameson, and there's this guy named Curtis, and there's this hostages, and then this happened 25 years ago, and blah, 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 and you're just like, what's going on? This is too much for me.
It's a bit of an exposition dump.
Yeah, it is. And the admiral is not wearing the same admiral uniform that Q was, and I was really pissed off. Oh. Where are the sequins?
Oh, did Q?
Yeah.
Did he have sequins in his Starfleet admiral one?
Did he have sequins in his Starfleet? Who are you?
I guess a person with a poor memory of Q's admiral uniforms.
Yeah, he had like, it was super gold embellished. It had like massive gold sequin embellishments.
Wasn't that his like Marshall's uniform? Was it Starfleet?
I thought that was Art Admiral. Whatever. Maybe it was like a higher rank than Admiral.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong, but I was just like, that Admiral has lame trim. It should be more lame.
You wanted more admiraliness?
I wanted it to have more gold, Dave. All right. I wanted more sequins, more bang, more like Starfleetiness. Like, where are the sequins? There's not nearly enough sequins. How do I know he's high ranking?
That's true. Yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah, it was for me, actually. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, we can go in scene by scene. And I guess as we're talking about the very first scene, the Enterprise arrives at Persephone 5, I think it was. And they go to pick up Admiral Mark Jameson, who is super duper old, apparently.
You say super duper old, and I was just like, oh, that's like a 25-year-old wearing like some really crappy old person prosthetics. It's immediately.
It's not good makeup.
It's terrible.
And we talked about this a little bit kind of offline, that the guy that did the makeup, I forget his name now, he kind of admits like, yeah, I didn't do a great job of this, but I also had to do like 4 or 5 different makeups for this one actor at different ages, and I had about a week to put it together.
I call more time, bullshit, better. To be honest. Like, okay. I'm sorry to that guy who had to do it. Maybe it was his first time using liquid latex, but first off, liquid latex and spirit gum, which are the primary ingredients in like doing a lot of prosthetics for Star Trek, Star Wars, even today, it's still used as a practical effect, was invented back in like the 1920s, I want to say late 1920s, early 1930s.
Yeah.
And really the first big production to use it was The Wizard of Oz on a wide-scale level.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz did a lot of makeup innovation, and they also figured out you can't crush up like aluminum and put it into paint because that'll cause people to cough and nearly die, like the first guy who was tasked as the Tin Man.
Really?
Yeah, they had to replace the Tin Man dude because he was inhaling aluminum flakes from the makeup.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
He was hospitalized, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah, that turned into a whole ordeal. The Wicked Witch of the West, she got like third degree burns at one point.
Whoa.
Yeah, they learned a lot about costuming and special effects and makeup. But one thing they did learn is that they use spirit gum as like an applicator, like a glue, and liquid latex. Huh. And so you can layer it in different forms to make like old age or like, you know, bumps, appendages, whatever. And it's been, you know, commonly used in theater ever since.
Yeah.
It's a very practical effect. You can also reuse it. You can layer and create like a mask to put onto someone to help with like the initial process to cut down the time it takes. So really this makeup artist who's complaining, and not to drag him, like I'm sure, you know, maybe he got more experience later on, but he has one like super old prosthetic to make, one medium old that would be like someone in their 70s. And then the other one is just basically like makeup.
So you could just do layers, like just basically make them all one and strip off a layer.
Crappy like layers. They look like fish scales, like kind of dripping off each other.
It's not great.
You don't see an 80 or 90 year old who has perfectly clear skin that's wrinkly.
Yeah.
So there's like, he made no effort to do any like spackling or anything to show like age marks. Like you would have like freckles and like all sorts of like veins showing and all this stuff. All he has to do is look at a photo of like, I don't know, like Joe Biden. like, but seriously though, someone who's like 80, right? Yeah. And like, see,
well, I guess at the time Joe Biden would have been 50, but
okay,
yeah,
Ronald Reagan.
Your point is taken.
An old person.
Wow, coming hard for the makeup guy.
It was disappointing because it's like Worf's makeup's all on point.
Yeah,
and it's like you do that really well, but you can't do old age makeup. And if the Twilight Zone could do it better than you, and that was like 30 years ago, you're messing up, dude.
Because he said he has to do this makeup. It's like 3 or 4 hours the actor was in the chair doing the makeup. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, and I told you before that, like, you know, I've been a part of productions where I've done like the makeup, the hair and makeup. And, you know, I had to do the full prosthetics for the Beast, for Beauty and the Beast in like a high school production. Anyway, the point is, yeah, that was a bear to do. But guess what? I still managed to blend in the edges, you know, and that did take like the kid had to sit in the chair for about 3 hours. So I thought it was really bad makeup. Like right away, I was taken out of this episode and I was like, oh crap, I can't even tell what's going on because I'm watching this guy who's pretending to be old, which...
One thing that really kind of bothered me when that they start doing the Jameson thing with Admiral Jameson, who's apparently only 85 years old. Mm-hmm. He looks much older than that.
Yeah.
They don't have mandatory retirement for Starfleet. This guy's still...
I have that too in my notes.
He's still doing the Admiral thing at 85.
Right. And also the biggest giveaway, and this is like, oh my God, this is such a nitpicky thing, but all you people who've ever done costume makeup, you'll get me on this. The costumer, the guy who did the makeup, didn't do his hands.
Yes.
So why the hell does he have the hands of a 20-year-old and like the face with like weird ass, like kind of scaly, like flaps? And it's like, have you not seen an old person?
I had the same note later on where he like touches like his wife's face or something, and it's like young hands.
Yeah, it reminds me of Zoolander, and was it like David Duchovny or whoever is like a hand model?
Oh yeah,
and keeps his hand like preserved. Or like, okay, I guess this guy was like a hand model, and that's why Starfleet keeps him on.
But so the setup of this story is where, as we find out in this really first scene, where we're really just shocked by the terrible makeup, is it looks like on this planet Morden 4. There's this kind of planetary governor dude named Karnas, who has reporting that some terrorists on his planet have kidnapped a Starfleet ambassador and his staff and are holding him hostage and will not negotiate with Karnas. They are insisting on talking to Mark Jameson, to Admiral Mark Jameson, who's 85 years old. Right?
Yeah. And this guy at first looks like a deranged NRA member.
The Karnas dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got all these guns behind him.
He's got these guns behind him. And the other thing I noticed, which just like irritated me, and like, sorry guys, cause it's like two rants right in a row, but he's got these two eagles, right? And they're like staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way you position eagles, okay? If you have you ever been around a predatory bird, or in our case, a beloved parrot who's a young teenager who I've had since I was a teenager, that's the stance she makes before she wants to attack you for like stealing her grape. But that's definitely like, I'm about to attack. So you would face those eagles outward.
Mm.
And like, I actually double checked this. Roman Legion, they have a facing outward.
Yeah.
Like Napoleon, when he was trying to imitate the Romans, he had his eagles facing outward. Yeah. You don't have the eagles facing you because it looks like they're about to attack you. That's stupid.
Unless he's like wanting somebody to sit in front of him at his desk. That way the eagles are behind them about to attack the person sitting in front of him at his desk.
Or it's eagles versus guns because the guns are behind him.
Actually, while we're on this, this is about time index 36 seconds or thereabouts, where we see Karnas and the guns behind him.
I promise the rest of the episode's going to be faster, guys.
He's got this little like staff behind him, which is the same staff that was used in the very first episode with the Ferengi. Remember with like the gatekeeper dude or whatever had that staff? He was swirling around and then brushed it by Riker's head.
Oh, wow.
The double blades at the end. Yeah, the same staff. They reused that prop.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, way to reuse a prop. So it's maybe, cool. Okay. But either way, his eagles are facing the wrong way.
Eagles are the wrong way.
The old age makeup sucks. So I already was just like 30 seconds into this. Yeah. Like, oh, this is bullshit.
Not even a minute. And Amara is off the rails.
I'm off.
Well, so the plot we learn in this excruciating 1 minute is that Mark Jameson has to be called in to do these negotiations. Because I guess he had also negotiated a similar situation on this planet 45 years ago. Via the viewing screen. And then Jameson's like, all right, I'm going to come help. And Picard and Riker go to meet Jameson at the transporter room. They're going to beam him off like Persephone 5 and get him to take him over to wherever they're going to do the negotiation at Borden 4.
Which I'm super confused by in the first place, because Starfleet has already established, and the Enterprise, that people don't really hold that much value. So why are they like even bothering? Why are they just like, meh?
We just let the ambassador and the hostages die?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think in like the last episode, I brought back the whole like when Picard was out in that energy cloud, how they're like, we've waited for an hour. We should take off now. And like Sing, obviously, I just don't get why they even bother. So that was confusing. And I kept waiting for them to be like, they're fancy hostages, or they're like the 1% of Starfleet.
The ambassador kind of is in a way, right?
I guess. I mean, if Picard didn't have value to the crew, then like, does the ambassador? I don't understand how this stuff works in this world.
It is quite confusing. Yes. So Picard and Riker go to meet Jameson at the transporter room. And when they get there, we see Jameson is like in this kind of space wheelchair.
Loved it.
Yeah. It's like a little hyper chair or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That thing apparently costs $10,000.
Can see why. It's cool. But maybe like, they should have spent some money on getting a better makeup dude.
Yes.
Again, I'm really sorry, makeup dude. If your art got better later on, we all make mistakes.
But this is also $10,000 in 1988 money, right? Like that's
Seriously. I'm just thinking of all the kick-ass latex you could buy.
Oh yeah, no. And we also see Jameson's wife, who I believe her name is Annie, and she's played by Marsha Hunt, I think.
Yes, and I have a. Okay, I have like a hold up.
Oh, is this another rant? We got another rant?
Well, just more of curiosity. Okay, so this like fake old person gets to get married and have a wife. And I'm like, okay, so now isn't it going to be awkward when Troy and Crusher meet this wife of this admiral and they're like, what the hell, bro? Like, we can't actually date Picard and Riker, but this old like crusty admiral gets to have a wife? Like, I would have been like, what, this entire time you've been like, oh yeah, I can't have a serious relationship if I were Troy. I'd be like, what the hell, Riker?
Oh no, they totally can. It's just up to their choice. Like, I guess this admiral dude has decided to do it. Picard like kind of never does it. And Riker, I guess, is devoted to his career over Troy.
His career, okay. We even know what he's devoted to.
Yeah. His Caesar's Palace ladies.
But I was like, wow, I'd be so pissed right now if I were Troy and Crusher.
But so what's interesting about that actress though, Marsha Hunt, that plays the wife Anne. So she was a famous Hollywood actress for many years.
Oh.
And she actually testified in the House Un-American Activities Commission or whatever. So she testified in that kind of in favor of all the artists and the actors saying like, these aren't communists or whatever. Like this is overreaching the First Amendment and stuff. You're bypassing our freedom of speech.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. I would not have put that together.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I thought she might've been another actress that was in Seinfeld, but turns out I got that wrong. But I found out she did all this stuff. Very cool. She also passed away at the age of 104.
And I bet she looked better than that guy who's trying to be 85.
She did, yes.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Nice.
So I guess at the time this was filmed, she would have been, what, like 68 or something? Oh, no, 74, I guess, something around that.
Okay, cool. So, cool. Yeah. I had her pegged for like being in her 60s.
Me too. Yeah. Something on that order. Yeah. But yeah. All right. So one of the first things Jameson says is when he gets off the Trent or when he gets beamed aboard the Enterprise is he tells Picard, like, I want to be clear about this. I'm in command. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in command of this mission. You're in control of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But like the mission, away team personnel, all that stuff, that's my control.
Yeah. And I had like a moment. First off, I did have the note. Mm-hmm. Do they not let people retire in Starfleet?
Yeah.
And then I said, second off, aren't they worried about Jameson like just going off at a certain point? Like, and I'm saying this just to be equitable to everyone out there. We've seen Trump just go off on crazy trains. And then we've seen Biden like fall off of a bike and also lose his stream of consciousness. At some point, you do reach an age where maybe you shouldn't be in leadership.
Yep.
That's my thesis.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering if age is really what we want to go with negotiation for something so delicate.
It's funny because, I mean, in the first episode at Counter and Farpoint, they've got McCoy, right? The doctor from the original Enterprise. And
he's like kind of racist,
But he's also much more than 85, I think, at the time.
He's like 120 or something.
Yeah. And he's still obviously functioning. So maybe it's not like maybe Jameson's aged poorly at 85 because he has this Iverson's disease that we find out later.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you in the future, you could continue functioning well into your 80s or 90s with drugs or whatever. But this guy is just stricken by the Iversons. So that's possibly why he's still functioning as an admiral. But okay. I agree, you know, age limits.
Yeah.
No.
Like I was like, can we have like, so it just seems like Starfleet has the same problem we have now, which is just like, the average age of a senator is 75. Yeah. Still hip happening.
Representing like, the people.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, so Jameson says this thing of like, I'm in control. I hope you're okay with that. And Picard is like, okay. Riker seems a little suspicious. Basically, Riker's whole role in this whole episode is just to look suspiciously at various things.
At least he gets to do that. I feel like Worf and Tasha are just like back there.
Yeah.
They're just like exchanging looks.
So then we get our usual credit scene, like our intro credits or whatever. And when we return, we're back aboard the bridge. And now we've got Jameson in his fancy like hover chair thing alongside Riker, Picard, and Troy, right? In that little ring of seats there that I think Amara famously described the first episode as like, did they get robbed? Like, what happened to all the stuff?
And also, I thought it was pretty sweet that they could beam up his wheelchair thingy.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. Way to be handy capable.
Yeah, that's like a little, I guess Enterprise. It's like a ramp in a way, right?
They had a ramp going down too, not stairs. And I was very impressed by that because I'd overlooked that previously.
That's a really interesting point.
Good actually. For you, Starfleet.
And so they make, when Jameson's on board the bridge, they make contact with that Karnas guy on Morden 4. And so Jameson introduces himself, and the very first thing Karnas says to Jameson is like, time has not been kind to you, which is
okay,
kind
rude.
Of like you're about to do these negotiations and you come out hard out of the gate with that.
Yeah.
And so
which isn't untrue. Again, the makeup artist, what were you smoking?
No, the makeup artist has not been kind to him.
Because by contrast, Karnas looks great.
He looks really good.
Okay, Silver Fox, I see you. It's been 45 years. What'd you look like? Were you like 15 when this stuff happened?
Yeah,
like,
that's I wonder. I guess maybe he's a different species and aged differently, but yeah, who knows, right? Who knows? And they have this conversation and Karnas and AJ are talking and we get this shot of Troy who's looking at AJ, Admiral Jameson. I abbreviated him as Admiral Jameson.
I was about to
notes.
Say, who the hell's AJ? Is this another person I missed? Because I know at like minute 7, they mentioned terrorists. And I'm like, what? There's terrorists?
Yeah. So as Karnas and Admiral Jameson are talking, we get a close-up of Admiral Jameson's like horrible makeup face.
Yeah.
And we see Troy in the background and she's looking at him suspiciously like her spidey sense is tingling.
She's
right?
So useless in this episode. I thought she was going to like actually deduce something, but she really doesn't. She just has feelings. And I'm like, do you read minds or not, Troy?
I mean,
pick a lane, Star Trek.
I think, you know, in the whole series, her function is basically like the music, like ominous music. We know something is happening, but we don't know what, you know, like that's her role. And so, yeah, as they talk about this idea that there are some terrorists on the planet that have like kidnapped these people or whatever, and they got to negotiate with Jameson to get them back, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so they finish their conversation. Admiral Jameson, Riker, Picard, and Troy talk a little bit about this situation, just how they're going to proceed or whatever. But they're ultimately interrupted by Crusher calling from sickbay, who is ready for Admiral Jameson to do a physical. Right. And Picard has lined him up to do a physical, and he says it's like a routine thing for anyone.
And he's like all reluctant to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yes, you are, because your crappy prosthetics are going to fall off, and everyone's going to be like, dude, why are you pretending to be 85? This is weird now.
Yeah. Like he's worried the scan's going to just, it's going to peel off.
Yeah.
All right. So that's kind of our scene set up. We've got this this hostage rescue situation. Super old Jameson is in his expensive wheelchair, going to go solve things. In our next scene, we've got Riker, Picard, Data, and Admiral Jameson in Picard's ready room, again, talking about this situation. How did, this planet has had a civil war for the last 40, 45 years. And then now they had peace for a little bit. I think it's 5 years. And so now why suddenly do we have a hostage situation?
And why did they ask for him specifically? Yeah. Right?
And so Data theorizes, well, maybe these people have finally met in the last 5 years of peace with their basic needs. And now they just want a little bit more stuff from Starfleet. And they're kind of asking for more things. Admiral Jameson kind of pipes up and he said, and I didn't understand this at all. Admiral Jameson says, maybe the terrorists want weapons.
Yeah.
And they've kidnapped these people that, and Karnas won't give them the weapons, and they're kidnapping these people to get the weapons out of Starfleet or out of Karnas or somebody.
And I'm like, that's a jump.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have no idea where that came from.
I guess Starfleet was a little different 45 years ago. And I was like, is this guy like the equivalent of the CIA in the 60s?
Yeah. Just doling out. Yeah.
Gonna trade some arms for some cocaine and do it all under the government, guys.
I didn't follow this at all. It kind of makes sense later on in the episode, but at the moment, it's like, where the hell are you getting this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the point where I sent you the Michael Scott meme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, it is. There's not enough information. And I guess Jameson does say, like, he's negotiated many treaties in many different places, including 45 years ago, this particular one.
So he's trying to claim that he's been asked out here because he's just so good at diplomacy, even though his first thought is to jump to, they probably need weapons.
Yeah.
So that's not as concerning.
I was wondering, actually, so I knew where this episode was going from years before watching it, but I thought perhaps at this point, this might have been a clue to him being senile.
That's what I thought. And I thought Troy was going to be like, okay, this, like, she was going to say something or be like, oh, something's wrong with this dude because he's like pretending to be old.
Yeah.
Or like he's concerned and he's rapidly, like, I just feel like that would be something that her weird senses would pick up on. I understand not getting direct thoughts, but like, this guy is hiding a huge secret or this guy is having a medical, like, he's stressed out because of some medical thing, or for some reason I'm sensing he's younger.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something she could pick up from what we've seen so far.
You think so? Yeah.
But no, just the ominous music.
She does say, I think in the previous scene on the bridge, like that, I think she was talking about Karnas though, that he's holding something back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like literally everyone in the world is.
Yeah. At any negotiation like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of. So in our next scene, we are actually in the ambassador's quarters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Admiral Jameson is in there.
With his wife, who's like, she's a fancy number. Now that I know that the Marsha Hunt.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. And she looks like she's in her like 60s. And I was like, is she married to him for the money? Because he does look like he's going to like.
That sweet ambassador money.
Well, I thought he was, they don't say his age yet, but I assumed he was like in his 90s.
Me too. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, and she looks a lot younger than him.
Yeah.
Plus. Yeah. Okay. So there's this moment where he's like, ah, and he like falls over and he's like acting like he has a heart attack or something. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my favorite part of the episode. Cause I'm like, get this woman has to be in it for the money. Cause she's acting like a trophy wife here. She says, chest pain. How long has this happened? Do your doctors know you have chest pain? And it's like, do you not know what's going on with your husband medically? Like,
yeah.
She's just like super startled that like this old guy's having trouble moving around. Like, when did this happen? And it's like, are you really? But like, I just want to know the circumstances of how these two met and if this is his third wife or what? Because she's giving off like, is it time for the will to kick in vibes? Like, I know your medical conditions. You know mine. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be startled if all of a sudden I like fell over because I haven't had enough sodium.
But this is a completely new thing for him.
I guess.
Well, I mean, we learn that as we go through the episode.
Okay.
This, yeah.
Yeah. At this point, though, I was just like, well, she's like the third wife. She's definitely like trophy wife.
So while we're in this scene, the really remarkable thing, or I guess the point of this scene, is Admiral Jameson pulls himself out of the wheelchair and like kind of crawls over or like uses the furniture to maneuver over and sit in another chair.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is like, wow, that's amazing. You're much stronger today. And he's like, yeah, that's great.
And again, I was like, how does she not notice that?
Yeah.
Like, without knowing what we know later on in the episode, I'm like, she's like the worst wife ever. What has she been like at Haven for the last like year? Like, oh, you'll be fine, honey. I'm going to take a prolonged vacation because I'm so stressed.
And she calls sick bay, or she tries to get sick bay. But Admiral Jameson says, no, this pain will pass. Like, I've been having this before. And the pain subsides and he tells his wife, like, you know, my doctors just say this as body changes.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. though. His doctors say this, and he's had it before, and this yeah. is the first time she knows about it. That's yeah. why I was like, this is weird. She's just not paying attention.
I think he's not telling her.
You know, I think like, well, we find out later on that mm-hmm. he's taking this crap, right?
Yeah.
It's like you serum, so he must have injected it right beforehand or something. Yeah. So these mm-hmm. are new symptoms, but at this point, it seems like she just is like a really crappy mm-hmm. wife. Like, just not noticing gotcha. That her husband has random, like, heart spasms.
So this is our first kind of clue that Jameson is undergoing some sort of health crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
In our next scene, we've got Picard and Crusher in, I believe it was Picard's ready room.
It is, because his relaxing fish is in the background. He's doing, like, fish laps, and I loved it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you definitely noted the fish laps.
Of course. I love that fish. Consistent fish since the first episode. It makes me happy. Remember that one time it was the wrong room and I thought they'd gotten rid of the fish and I was really upset.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
It was a dark day.
It was the dark episode and you're like, no, that's just a different room. I was like, oh, it's a whole different fish.
So I guess the real point of this scene though is not about the fish per se, although that's the subtext, I guess. Crusher is saying, like, you know, Jameson sent me all his medical records, but the medical records he sent that are supposed to be today, basically, or dated 2 months ago. Like, he lied to me about the date of these records. He's mm-hmm. he's lying about stuff. And she thinks he's hiding something. Picard doesn't super buy it, necessarily, but he does say to Crusher, like, I'd like you to stay on the bridge the next couple days just to monitor Jameson's health while he's on the bridge doing his, like, negotiating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Crusher seems on board with that. Now we're on the bridge, and we're arriving at this certain particular star cluster. It's not quite Morden 5. I'm guessing it's like on the way there. And Picard says, like, to Jameson.
Morden 5. I totally forgot. See,
oh, that's
again,
where
too
Karnas
many names.
Is. That's where Karnas and the hostages are.
Ah, yes. Jameson's so, fives.
Yeah.
All right.
So as we're on the way there, Picard turns to Jameson and says, like, would you like the con? Would you like to control the ship or pilot the ship? And Jameson's like, sure, that would be awesome. And he gets out of his chair
mm-hmm.
and walks down to the con. To the command console to fly the ship.
Yeah.
And he stumbles a little bit on the way, but, like, he gets there.
Yeah.
And the whole bridge crew is like, whoa, that's certainly quite a surprise that you can walk. Like, that's crazy.
And I have in all caps, use a handrail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Safety conscious.
Oh, yeah. But we also see Crusher, who's, like, really incredulous
yeah.
that he can do this, right?
And also, they spent $10,000 in the 80s yes. on that chair, and he can walk this douchebag.
He uses it, like, twice.
They had to come up with special, like, you know, bringing the chair up, like, special effects and tweak the beam room or whatever to bring yeah. his special chair, and he doesn't even need it. What a jackass.
Yeah.
Like, the crew's like, what? We had to do all this wheelchair accessible crap for you.
That would have been a great thing seen later on just to get the money out of it, where he's like, when he's in his youthful form, just yeah. putting his feet up on the chair.
He's just like cozing around. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So he flies the ship or whatever. And he says to the rest of the bridge crew, he's been doing this new therapy that seems to be working really well. Crusher is not buying it. Right. And in the right. next scene, she goes to talk to Picard in his ready room. And mm-hmm. this is where she mentions Iverson. Disease or Iverson syndrome, I think.
Iverson's disease.
Iverson's disease, yeah.
And she says, no one recovers from Iverson's degrees. And I was like, yeah, not on your watch, Crusher. For all we know, this is, like, again, a mild cold.
Yeah.
You freaked out, like, the last episode over the damn cold. I feel like anything above the difficulty of, like, chapped lips is expert mode for you.
That's true.
But you got your interns back, so maybe they can help you out.
Yeah, my interns tell me there's no cure for Iversons.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe the new therapy that he's talking about is stem cells. Controversial.
Oh, interesting.
Or it's Scientology, because we all know that Tom Cruise hasn't aged. And so something must be going right with Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he's taken both Scientology and stem cells.
Maybe we'll call him A, we'll call him B. Why not? But yeah, I was like, there's many answers there, Crusher. You're just not looking.
So she basically says, Jameson should not be able to walk like that, right? It's just basically impossible with the knowledge they've got.
Yeah, because it's a degenerative
yeah.
illness, right?
And Picard just tells her, look into it, doctor, thoroughly. So.
She's like, all right, on it, minions. She yeah. like calls over her interns and then is like, all right, good day. Gonna yeah. go put the triangle into the triangle hole. Or was it the rectangle hole?
She summons her chief Googler to go onto WebMD.
They're all back from Haven, so they're well rested. They're like, all right, we can deal with this shit again. Yeah. All right.
So after this, discussion about Iversons, we're back in Admiral Jameson's quarters where he's kind of sitting in the dark. And this happens repeatedly throughout the episode where he sits in the dark.
Yeah, because the prosthetics are so shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's rewatching the Karnas kind of message and stuff just to get more information about it. And his wife comes in while he's watching this video. And he gets up to go say hi to her, and he's like moving really nicely. Like, yeah, he's not grabbing onto anything anymore. He's just kind of sauntering around. And she's really impressed by this. And he even starts to get a little frisky with her.
He gets a little frisky. And this is the point where I was like, oh yeah, definitely a third wife, trophy wife. Cause she's just like, damn it, I haven't had to deal with this for decades.
Yeah. Like, get back in your chair.
I thought we were over this.
So yeah, he starts like trying to make out with her or whatever. And like, she starts walking away from him, and he says something like, oh, I hope you're walking towards the bedroom.
Yeah. And she's very confused, yeah, understandably.
And then they walk over into the mirror, and we see his face in the mirror out of the dark and, like, you know, mm-hmm, in front of the camera. And he's way younger. He's like amazingly younger compared to the terrible prosthetic before.
Oh my God. It's
this is
so
a better
bad.
One than the other one.
I mean, that just looks like a face mask you could get at Halloween Town.
It does, but it's better than the previous.
Oh, no, it's significantly better than the whatever the hell the guy was trying to do.
But then, while they're doing this, he also gets another pain wave. Annie or Anne calls for a sick bay, and sick bay comes to get him, and Dr. Crusher starts looking at him and doing body scans.
Right, and I had an idea. I was like, yeah, Dave, what if this is like a space tapeworm, but instead of ingesting nutrients, yeah, it ingests your oldness?
Huh.
Yeah, it's like a time worm.
Yeah.
But that's not it.
No.
Anyway, but I wrote that down and I thought it time worm. Mentioning.
I like it. That's a good book title.
Time worm.
Patent pending. Verbal trademark.
I mean, women used to willingly swallow tapeworms to lose weight. So, yeah. I mean, time worm.
You know what? We should talk to Gwyneth Paltrow about this. Can see if we can get some, sell some time worms. Like little worms with hourglasses stamped on them. I like this idea.
Yes. Time worms. TM, it's a verbal trademark,
verbal
guys.
Trademark.
No, yeah. No one tried to take the time worms from us.
So Crusher now is scanning him. He's in sick bay. And essentially, she's finding some weird stuff in his body, some chemicals and drugs she cannot identify. Mm-hmm. And she really has no idea what's in there, surprise, or how these are affecting his physiology. And she goes through a bunch of like tech talk. One thing she says is that his DNA is skewed.
Yes.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. And I'm like, sweetheart, he didn't get exposed to radiation. All right. This isn't radiation poisoning.
And like your DNA doesn't.
Watch Chernobyl
skew.
On HBO. Yeah, it'll explain it to you. Yeah, no, your DNA doesn't like splinter off.
I mean, you can get splitting of the helices and stuff like that or nicks, but that's not.
Or again, like if you're irradiated.
Yeah. Mutations and stuff and base pair like differences. But
yeah, but no, I think you're right. It was like, it's skewed DNA. It's like, what?
I wonder if she's like, what can I tell Picard today where he won't question my...
Oh, for sure. Because I also, there's another line where Picard's like, well, you said there's no cure for Iversons.
Yeah.
That's what Picard says. And she says, none that we know of. And I was like, Crusher, we're being really generous with the we again.
Yeah.
Do you mean that you know of?
Yeah. I haven't come across it in my intern Googling yet. Picard tells her, you know, keep working on it, whatever. And then Picard goes to investigate himself. He goes to talk to Jameson personally, and he goes to Jameson's quarters. And when he gets there, he finds an even younger Admiral Jameson, right?
Oh, gosh.
Who's like in his 40s or 50s, but he's got such a big, saggy neck.
Yeah, again, I'm so sorry. I feel bad, prosthetics guy. I'm so sorry. I really hope you're doing better. But what the hell were you on? You removed the latex from the neck, all right? He doesn't need to have like the 90-year-old neck still. This doesn't make sense.
He looks like a bullfrog.
He looks like a 60-year-old who got a facelift at 40. It's very confusing.
I do remember watching this when I was a kid, and in this iteration, and when he's slightly younger, the bulging neck really bothered me. At this point, he can't hide it anymore. He's like strolling around. He looks like he's 40. I mean, it's a terrible botched surgery, 40, but...
Yeah, he literally says, there's nothing to hide now. And I'm like, okay... Actually, there is, because for some reason, the show is really keen on just not having eyebrows, and I don't get it, because this happened in Data lore as well. Remember how they like picked up Data's spare head?
Yeah.
And it was like, lore had no eyebrows, and I was like, what the crap? And then all of a sudden, he magically got eyebrows. This guy has no eyebrows.
Oh,
and
is I'm he like, eyebrowless?
They're like blonde or see-through.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, there is something to hide. It's the fact that you didn't take the time to buy a goddamn eyebrow pencil and fill in your eyebrows, all right? Like, it wouldn't take that long. You're so vain and you're like de-aging, but you got no time to sketch in some eyebrows. Come on. That's it.
Nice. Rant over. Eyebrow rant
like
over.
This episode. And I was like, oh, whoop, I guess Annie's going to die now first. That's awkward for her.
So, yeah, I mean, Admiral Jameson at this point comes clean, right? And he says, you know, he went to this planet called Cerberus 2. The natives there have this process for regenerating the body. It's a dangerous process with a kind of high mortality rate. It's also just generally painful, but it seems to work for him. And the idea is that you start taking these drugs slowly over time, and then you very slowly begin to reverse the aging process. And he started doing this, but he was noticing incremental changes, getting better. But then this mission came up, and he was just like, screw it, I'm just going to take a bunch. And so he got enough for both himself and his wife to do this aging or reverse aging process.
Which at first I was like, oh, that's nice. Because my first thought was like, wow, what a douche.
That was my thought too. But then, you know, when the situation with Morden 5 came up, he couldn't wait. And he took both doses.
Yep.
At once.
Yep.
Which is insane.
And also...
And selfish.
Really evil. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, okay, that's great. He got enough for him and his wife. You know, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
But one... She may not survive the thing. Just because he did doesn't mean she will. And two, don't take both, dude.
Right. And also, didn't he say something that it was like how he got it was a bit dodgy too? Like he had to do things or something.
He probably gave them weapons.
What did you do?
Yeah.
Like that sounds really bad. Like and just a couple minors.
Yeah.
Sent them a couple minor minors. No big deal. Yeah. I guess it's just that he was like, all right, my wife's going to die. No problem.
Yeah.
I'll just watch everyone around me die.
I'll just de-age and then like do this mission and then my wife will die and I'll live another whole life without her.
And also, why aren't people trying to find this planet? And also, I was like, can we not introduce like, what is this? Like an E-plot at this point?
Yeah. Also, just from a pure science point of view, don't take the two doses. Just take one. If you're going to take one dose.
An experimental drug.
Yeah.
That has a high mortality rate.
Yeah.
Don't double up on it.
And this is your admiral.
And this is your admiral.
This is the judgment of your 85-year-old.
I mean, Dave, to be fair, he's a brunette with blue eyes and he's white and he's male. Yeah. So Starfleet standards.
So understandably, his wife is a little upset that...
she takes it real well. I would have thrown him out of the airlock.
Yeah, that she's like, why would you decide to do this with your health and like, you know, basically ruin our life and all this kind of stuff. And Picard asks him, I think, a really relevant question is, why did you feel you needed to be young to do this? Like, and he doesn't answer that.
No, he doesn't, which is so awkward.
Yeah. I just found it kind of the writing for this was not strong.
I just assumed he was super vain and he just really hated this other guy and was like, look, I'm still sexy. Ho ho. Yeah.
So Picard leaves. And then the wife, Anne and Jameson remain behind. Anne asks him, I think, very reasonable questions. Why did you hide this from me? Did you think about me when you took both freaking doses? And you know, Jameson replies like, I got enough for both of us, but then he took it.
So like,
yeah, exactly. Like I got enough for both of us. Not, and he's just really upset with this and just basically storms off and doesn't want to have anything to do with him. It's not great.
Well, yeah. And also third wife, she thought she was going to get the inheritance.
So after this reveal that where we learn that Jameson has been taking, two humans worth of experimental de-aging drugs. Our next scene is with Jameson in a conference room, again, alone in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Data for a direct line into Karnas, the guy that's in Morden 5 who had the whole situation.
Yeah. And at this point, I'm like, can we stop with the really crappy lighting to cover up the fact that it's crappy prosthetics? Like, we get it. Let's just embrace it. Move forward. We did it with the Ferengi. Let's move it forward.
It's fun because when I was watching this and when I watched it when I was a kid, I thought the dark lighting was to preserve the mystery for how young he is now. But actually, it's probably just the prosthetics are crap and they want to cover it up.
Oh, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
That's
funny. I didn't think about it that way.
But yes, also mystery.
I just put so much faith into this franchise.
I know. I'm
so- Yeah. It's like childhood memories being torn apart. So we have this secure line between Admiral Jameson and Karnas. Jameson asks Karnas, like, who's behind this whole operation of the kidnapping, right? And they have this conversation. They talk a little bit about this. And then Jameson says to Karnas something along the lines of, you've never forgiven me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so we get a bit of a mystery that there's something more between the two of them than they're really letting on by talking with just Picard. Mm-hmm. Karnas does reply, of course, yeah, I've forgiven you. And somehow then Jameson makes this leap to basically conclude that there are no hostages at all, that there's no dissidents,
mm-hmm.
that in fact what's happened is Karnas is behind the whole thing, that he has kidnapped the ambassador and his staff, that there are no terrorists. It's just Karnas who's kidnapped the ambassador and his staff, all to construct a situation to bring Jameson to the planet.
Why are there so many layers to that plan, Dave? Why couldn't it just be Karnas, who used to be reasonable, has kidnapped a bunch of people and is holding an ambassador hostage?
Yeah, boom, you didn't need that, the reveal. And the conclusion that Jameson comes to from this secure discussion with Karnas is basically Karnas is behind the whole thing. And we get the impression as the audience that Karnas is trying to lure Admiral Jameson to the planet to repay some slight from 45 years ago, although we don't really understand what that is, something that Jameson has done.
And at this point, they've zoomed in on Karnas, so you can't see the eagles, but you can see his nice little gun collection behind him a bit clear. And it reminds me of Bert Gummer from one of my all-time favorite franchises, Tremors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. This little basement gun collection. I'm like, good for you. And I got like all nostalgic and happy for a second. Then I remembered that this plot made no sense and I got angry again.
Also, we may need to take an emergency station break because our dog has let out a horrendous fart.
Also our station manager, because we're a low budget group.
Yes.
Oh that... my God, Chubby.
Oh, that was... Chubby, what did you eat? Yeah, she's not answering me.
So small. How can she do that?
It's like a little microbrewery of stunk.
It's yeah. So dead.
It's so dead. We need to open up a window.
Man, it's like 20 degrees.
Oh my God.
I'd fire her, but we don't have a mechanism to... See, see, our station manager doesn't like the plot either. That's her commentary. It's like, I hate it.
I give this one stinky fart. Okay, so as we return from that conversation that Karnas was having with AJ, I'm sorry. AJ. Admiral Jameson was having with Karnas, Admiral Jameson comes onto the bridge and orders the Enterprise to accelerate to, I think it's warp 8. They basically go super zoom fast towards Morden. This will catch Karnas off balance and surprise him. Mm-hmm. And Jameson also says, like, his theory now is that there actually are no terrorists. It's all Karnas that has kidnapped these hostages. We're going to go there and surprise him.
Yeah. And so this dude is a senior member of Starfleet, and he, like, super hella doesn't care about the Prime Directive, is what I'm getting.
Well, so the Prime Directive in this first season is just out the bloody
whatever
window.
You want it to be.
Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be. Okay. Yeah.
And also, I love how it's like, well, what are the hostage demands? Oh, there are none because of this guy. So it's like, let's attack without hostage demands!
Yeah, like, the only demand is bring this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as the Prime Directive, my understanding is you're not supposed to interfere with cultures that are pre-warp.
No, I know we've talked about this, but we've also talked about how they just like completely
blow right past it.
Yeah, blow past it all the time. And also, they still don't have the hostage demands.
Yeah.
Like, what are the hostage demands? And also, what if they just want access to the Haven planet? What if that's their demand?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we want a week at Haven every year.
So also, Admiral Jameson says, like, now they're not even going to bother negotiating. He plans to personally lead an away team to rescue the hostages, no negotiations at all. And because he's the admiral, he's controlling the mission. He outranks Picard. They kind of just got to go along.
And his neck is still like a saggy 9-year-old neck.
This was the scene for me as a kid. I found so disturbing. Literally like he's a bullfrog.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's deeply unpleasant.
I'm not saying that I'm really great at makeup stuff, but I'm just saying that like, I know some kids who are so talented in college, they could definitely have done these prosthetics better, like who are way more talented than me, that it just kind of begs the question, like who was available to hire? Was everyone just like cocained out at that point? Like what's going on?
I think they spent all their budget on that chair.
Yeah. I do honestly wish they'd use that chair more.
Good choice. So when we return from commercial, Admiral Jameson is now sitting in Picard's chair.
His legs crossed. He's like, Yeah.
And he pulls up a map on the main viewer of the tunnels beneath the city. And he shows where the hostages have been kept in prior situations, prior hostage situation he negotiated like 45 years ago. Picard is not super happy about this plan of like, let's beam in and rescue him. But since AJ is like you know, or sorry, Admiral Jameson is like, Starfleet gave me the command. I'm going to use it however I see fit. Picard doesn't really have much recourse. Beam in, try to rescue these hostages. In our next scene, we have Anne, the wife, along with Troy and Crusher in sickbay. Mm-hmm. And Anne is lamenting to Troy and Crusher that she was kind of looking forward to them retiring, right? Like all the work's finally going to be done. They can age together. They can spend some time together. But now Jameson is young again. He's got a whole new life to live over. Mm-hmm. He can do all his career stuff a second time. And she's basically still old. Mm-hmm. And she is not happy about that. Again, understandably.
Yeah. And they give her really shitty advice. They're like, well, he's still the same person, honey. And it's like, no, I'd be like, girl, here is a cup of Jameson. Let's get you a nice divorce attorney. Because that guy took some youth serum that was intended for you. And this is weird now.
Yeah, that's I like that. Here's a bottle of Jameson to replace your old saggy Jameson. Your like neck poochy Jameson.
Yeah.
And Crusher then shares in what I believe is a violation of medical ethics. She shares some health details about Jameson that he's not stabilizing. Right?
You're assuming Crusher knows about HIPAA?
Yeah.
Bold choice.
What Crusher shares is that Jameson's situation is not stable. He may not survive this change. In another scene is on the conference room. And Jameson's sitting there again
in the shadows.
Yeah, in the shadows. Picard comes in to talk to him in this conference room. And we see as when Jameson turns around, he's now fully young, like normal age for this actor whose name I forget. Turns out he didn't appear in too many other things.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, damn, how the tables have turned. And stay married.
Yeah.
You got a hot young buck.
Yeah, for Annie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who's the trophy wife now?
That's a really good point. Yeah. She's got a couple years of trophy husband.
Yep.
Picard asks, like, why is this mission so important? And like, why is it this time you want to go on an armed raid? These are my people that you're bringing on this away team. Like, tell me why you want to do this armed raid. Jameson says, and this is really the big crux of the episode, I think, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the history. Years before, Karnas was kind of rising to power. And Karnas himself took hostages and demanded weapons from Starfleet in order to like consolidate his power over the planet.
Because there were a bunch of like different tribes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his father was like one of the heads of a major tribe.
Yeah. And then his father was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted the weapons partly to get revenge, but also to consolidate his power.
Right.
And Starfleet would not give him weapons. And they sent one mediator to like discuss the dispute.
Mm-hmm.
The mediator was killed. They sent another one. A second one was killed. And then they sent in Jameson.
Which you gotta wonder, he must have not been doing well at Starfleet. Yeah. Well, I got two dead.
Yeah.
Jameson and Jameson.
Third time's a charm, Jamie. And they sent in Jameson to negotiate. And it turns out what Jameson did is he actually just gave Karnas the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But he worked it out in such a way that like he fudged the paperwork. So there was no paper trail of Starfleet giving his weapons to mm-hmm. Karnas, but that's how Jameson negotiated. But in order to be fair,
mm-hmm. And follow the prime directive.
He gave weapons to the other side as well.
And I was like, you know, that does seem fair. Okay.
I mean, in a sense, that's fair. But also, like, what the hell is the prime directive if you're just giving weapons to whoever you want? Like,
right. And Picard's like, what? And I'm like, you mean like the weapons that are literally framed behind Karnas whenever we see him?
Yeah.
Oh, the weapons.
And so this giving both sides weapons.
Yeah.
Obviously was like, it allowed them to have this civil war for the next four decades.
Which caused millions to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, and the Admiral's like, I didn't know that would happen. And I was just like, okay, seriously, you guys, I'm like going to lose my crap about a certain number of things. One of them is Starfleet. What are you teaching these kids about military history?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And they're just like, I had no idea that if I gave both parties weapons, they would use them on one another.
Yeah. It's not.
What? Oh my God.
And then
I hate this episode so much.
As they say, they had this war, millions of people died, but, you know, 63 hostages, I think, were rescued by this illegal arms trade.
Yeah.
And Picard also says something here I don't really agree with, is like, yeah, you gave him weapons, but it was also Karnas could have elected not to use them or could have worked for peace instead of promoting the war for 40 years, which I don't know. I mean,
he already had two mediators dying. I'm assuming they sent in their best first.
Yeah. Like the yeah. I don't entirely agree with that. It's like once you're in a civil war, you kind of have to, you're going to keep warring, right?
Right. Or yeah. Also, Dave, I think this makes sense as to why he was admiral. Because then he comes back to Starfleet. He's like, solved it. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay, well, we kind of have to promote him now.
Yeah.
And like, what comes after captain?
Admiral.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so this must have been a fast track for his career.
Yeah, so that's why we're dealing with this inept leadership. Because this guy's hella corrupt.
And it seems like at this point now, Karnas is really asking for revenge, right? This is apparently why he's called Jameson there. He found out Jameson's still alive, and he concocted this whole hostage situation or kidnapped people to lure Jameson there to get revenge upon him for plunging the planet into civil war for the last 40-odd years. Seems reasonable. Jameson's not going to make this negotiating mistake again. He's going to beam down and zap people with phasers.
Right. And so when they get ready to beam, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but the Admiral's stance is like kind of looking over the shoulder with his butt accentuated.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, I think he wants people to notice that he's got like a firm butt again. Like, look, I've de-aged and look how plump my rump is. Because everyone else is just standing straight forward. It's amazing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Good for you.
Let's see. But yeah, there is a bit of a pelvic thrust there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like 30-28 or so. He's kind of
plump my rump.
It's not a normal stance.
No, it's not. Everyone else is straightforward and he's just like,
eh. Yeah. So they beam down. Picard goes with them because he wants to like be part of this away mission. I think his role here is like, I'm going to see if I can actually mediate peace and not just let these people blast each other away.
Mm-hmm.
So they beam down. And Jameson says, like, they're in this certain specific M4 tunnel, which he remembers from decades ago. Data says, essentially, no, that's not what my tricorder says. I've got other information. Jameson is like, well, your tricorder's wrong. I'm right. I was here 40 years ago. Let's go this way. Mm-hmm. And leads the away team off. And then as they walk away, Data pulls Picard aside and basically says, this dude is wrong.
Right.
We're going into this dead end. Like, what the hell? And Picard says, yeah, but like 45 years ago, it was probably fine. So they continue along and wind up at the dead end because Data's amazing.
And Tasha's in the back and you can just see on her face, she is so done with this mansplainy ship. She's like, I am putting in my transfer for the USS Fearless Taylor Swift ship as soon as possible because I've had it up to here with these people.
Yeah. Like poor Tasha and Worf having to go with this idiot.
They're
like,
so done. Jameson.
Yeah.
Like every episode, they're just like, we're done.
So they come to the dead end, just as Data said they would. Jameson says, like, oh, this must have been, or I guess Geordi points out, this is some steel plasm put in recently to block off this dead end. Jameson decides, let's just cut through it, because I know if we cut through here, it'll be the most direct route to where I think the hostages are.
Mm-hmm.
So they phaser through the wall, thanks to Worf and Yar.
Okay.
Yes.
You say phaser. I freaked the hell out.
Oh, yeah.
We have not seen phasers set to laser. Yet. Oh. So I was like, Star Trek has lightsabers and they just are breaking them out now. And I freaked out. I had to pause so I could freak out for a bit and Google it. And it's like, how am I just learning this now?
Yeah.
And then also, why do they have a laser setting and a kill setting?
Yeah. So those phasers, which I believe are type 2 phasers, the larger ones, they are incredibly destructive. Like I remember reading the technical manual when I was a kid, like the highest setting will like literally vaporize a person.
Love it.
Or like trucks, like you just vaporize an SUV.
But just like laser's a great setting.
Yeah.
Like, this person's annoying me. I'm going to literally disarm them.
And you can also, like in the manual, as I remember, you can set both the intensity, but also the width of the beam.
God.
So you can do like a huge wide stun thing, or you could do like a very precise cut, just like they did here to cut through the wall.
Well, it's fantastic. And also I'm like, do you really have to change the setting on your phasers then? between kill and laser.
Yeah, I guess they're kind of the same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah. So they cut through the wall using the phaser lasers. And as they get through to the next room, they immediately get attacked by some Mordanian. Warden 5 troops. Karnas,
I don't even know where we're at now. I'm still on Persephone 7 or something.
You just resigned to the confusion.
Yeah.
And so they get pinned down under fire from these enemies. And while they're under fire, Jameson gets another one of these like pain waves and he can't control himself. And Picard decides, all right, screw this. This is ridiculous. Let's beam on home. And they beam out.
But a couple things first.
Yeah.
One. The Admiral is just like, I'm going to stand in the middle of the firing area. Like, he doesn't take cover or anything. And Worf does like a hero, like push to push him out of the line of fire.
Yeah.
And the best part is like, it's at 33 minutes and 23 seconds. Worf very gently puts him on the concrete floor.
Oh, yeah.
Lays him so gently. And I'm like, oh, that's very nice, Worf. He's not old anymore, but it is nice that Worf's still treating him like he's like in his hundreds. And then also, the only person to successfully get off stun shots is Tasha.
Yeah,
and she
knocks
gets two.
Like two dudes.
No
yeah.
one else does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys need to appreciate and promote the shit out of Tasha. Why is she not captain?
Yeah, Tasha's pretty awesome.
Oh, anyway, but yeah, that's all I had to say about that.
So they beam up back onto the bridge, and Picard tells Riker that Admiral Jameson is in sick bay and not doing very well. Like, the implication being he might die anytime soon. Karnas is on the main viewer on the Zoom, and he's asking, like, where is Jameson? Like, someone attacked us. I demand to see Jameson within 10 minutes, I think it is. And if we don't see Jameson, I'm going to start killing people.
And I'm like, who are the hostages at this point? Like, who are they?
Yeah.
And why do you keep saying you're going to use the most painful way of killing?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Starfleet has lasers. They just broke out of nowhere. Like, wait. Oh my God, this episode.
It's funny. It didn't bother me. The only thing that really bothers me about this is the bulging neck, but you really did not like it.
It just too many, like, plot threads.
Okay, so Troy interrupts coming from sickbay, basically saying to Picard, you have to come to sickbay now. Picard heads down to sickbay and talks to Jameson, who is not doing well. Just looking at him, though, he seems mainly to be sweating is the main problem with him, but I guess there's other stuff going on inside. Jameson wants to beam down to the planet and essentially sacrifice himself to Karnas so that Karnas will release the hostages, because Jameson thinks he's going to die anyways. Might as well get the hostages out of it.
And I have in bold, all caps, real noble, bro. Like, it means certain death for you, Admiral, Picard says. And it's like, didn't we already establish that he's like hardcore Benjamin Buttoning right now?
Yeah.
And he's going to die anyways. Like, he's probably going to be a baby in a matter of like hours. So, and this is a situation of his own making, kind of. So like,
oh, so noble. What a sacrifice.
So I assumed that he was so sweaty because he's reached like his teenage years and we're all like gross and sweaty. And it's like, why am I sweaty so much?
So there was an alternate version of this script that didn't get produced, but where like he would continue aging till he was about 14 and he would be like 14, 15 at the negotiations and then people wouldn't take him seriously. And like that was another ending or twist they were considering.
Oh, I was thinking like maybe like they somehow figured out how to halt it when he was a baby and then Karnak would raise him as his own child and there would be vengeance somehow.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Like raise him to hate Starfleet or something like that.
Yeah.
Jameson wants to beam down to the planet.
Yeah.
And Picard says, sure, but I'm going to go with you.
Right. And at this point, I do have to give a shout out to one of my friends because she has said that, like she said this multiple times on her 24th birthday.
Yeah.
25th birthday. It's 3641. Named Karna says the following sentence, which my friend said about 17 times before I held her hair or while she vomited.
Yeah.
I want my Jameson. So 3641, get your Jameson, everyone.
That would be,
I want Jameson.
That would be a great meme.
And shout out to my friend who will remain nameless because, you know, I don't hold hair and tell.
Well, I guess that rules out me, I guess. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it rules out you. But yeah.
Bald solidarity.
And she still drinks Jameson to this day. So good for you, girl.
I love the idea of that meme. Yeah. That's really awesome. Crusher beams down with Jameson and Picard right into Karnas' office, right between the two eagles, which also, like, why can't you just beam away the hostages? But anyways,
because there are no hostages, Dave. I'm still who are they? What are they? I don't
know. Unsurprisingly, Karnas is not convinced that the young dude in front of him is 85-year-old Admiral Jameson. Right,
he wants his Jameson.
He thinks this is a farce and he threatens to kill everyone, Picard included. While they're having this discussion, Jameson gets another pain wave and kind of passes out. Mm-hmm. And I was on the floor. Crusher's like doing her Crusher thing there.
She pokes him with a pencil and is like, I can't do anything.
That sounds about right.
That's literally what happens, yeah.
Picard is explaining the situation about the drugs and all this kind of stuff to Karnas, who is still not buying it. Jameson is not doing very well. And actually, Crusher suggests maybe Anne, the wife, should come down because he might be dying. Yeah.
Which I'm like, you psychotic cow. Like, okay, so this guy's mortal enemy has a wife who's clearly older. And you're saying we should beam down this guy's wife.
Yeah.
And so his mortal enemy then has the wife right there to do whatever the hell he wants to. And he's already threatened to torture some hostages.
Yeah, I didn't think
like,
about that.
What the hell, Crusher? Like, whoa, dark.
So the wife does arrive despite the threat to her life, which I didn't consider. And she comforts Jameson. And while that's going on, Picard tells Karnas, he gave you and your enemies these weapons, but you're the ones that use them. You fought the war for 40 years. He's kind of already paying for his crime. Maybe you don't need to go killing him or whatever. And to further convince Karnas that Jameson is who he says, he talks about the meeting that Jameson and Karnas had 40 years ago. He shares some details. He shows Karnas a scar.
Which I'm like, okay, so all the other skin trauma healed except for that scar? Are you freaking kidding me?
That's an interesting question, yeah.
Oh my God.
And what really ultimately convinces, or starts to convince Karnas, is Picard shows him like a series of photos of Jameson at each of the de-aging steps.
Which right? I think is hilarious because it doesn't look like the same person because the prosthetics are so shitty.
Yeah, and also at this point in time, I mean, presumably, like, we already have software that'll age or de-age people.
Yeah.
It's not convincing at all.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Karnas ultimately buys this. It's like the photos and the scar and just the descriptions from Jameson about their meeting. And he's like, okay, you're Jameson. Now you die. And he grabs a phaser and goes to shoot off his wall and goes to shoot Jameson with it. But he ultimately decides, no, he's not going to do that. He's just going to watch Jameson die because of the de-aging drugs. And ultimately, Jameson does that. He dies right there on the floor.
And he's trying to do the whole like atonement thing in his wife's arm, like, I've done stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't get to play the atonement card when you did dodgy shit to get there, buddy. Yeah. And now you're like a weird ass teenager dying in your 6-year-old wife's arms. That's just weird.
I have to admit, though, I was really touched by the line. Jameson refers to his wife as like a golden princess or something like that.
Like, and she has golden hair.
Yeah, and she's like, the hair's all gray now. And he says, I only ever see the gold. I thought that was kind of sweet.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet. And then I remembered like 2 milliseconds later that he took her serum of youth as well. And I was like, and the entire point, from my understanding, was just so he could be young at this confrontation. And I'm like, that's why you stole a second life from your wife? That's why? So you could be like the youngest and the prettiest at this confrontation or confrontation with your mortal enemy?
I mean,
golden
hair.
That
single line doesn't rescue the whole thing.
It doesn't. If I was his wife, I'd still be pissed. I'd be like, that's nice. I would have had golden hair if you hadn't taken the Fountain of Youth serum from me.
Karnas ultimately decides he's going to free the hostages because why not?
And apparently, where are they?
Yeah. There's like no hostages anyway.
And also, why does Starfleet care again?
Well, one of them is a Starfleet ambassador.
Okay. And apparently that ranks above captain. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It actually, I think, might rank above or near Admiral, depending on things.
But, all right.
Yeah. And then the final scene is we're back aboard the bridge. The hostages are freed. Jameson has been buried on this planet, which apparently he wanted. That seems really... And Karnas is okay with that, which makes no sense to me. This guy who started a civil war for 40 years is now buried there.
I have a theory. It's not very pretty. I think he's going to catch... what's her face on the rebound? Anne on the rebound.
Oh, like Anne comes to visit the grave?
Yeah.
And Karnas is like,
he's going to be like, oh, you're mourning. Oh, hey, babe. It's like the ultimate revenge.
Yeah. Let me get carnal with you.
Yeah.
Carnal knowledge.
Why am I not writing this stuff? Like, Picard and Riker have this talk and they're like, the quest for youth is futile, blah, blah, blah. And experience and age are important, but maybe you can have one without the other. And it's like, no, Picard, it wasn't futile. This guy just literally OD'd on the Fountain of Youth. Like, and also, why is no one interested in this? Literally, everyone's just like, yo, okay, let's go back to our regular human lifespans. Yeah. Like, no one's interested in finding out more about this Fountain of Youth. Yeah. I would be like, okay, guys, guess what? New prime directive. Let's all try to see if we could stay young.
Yeah, let's go to this planet and figure out what they're doing.
Yeah,
that sounds really interesting.
Throw some guns at them and they'll give you the Fountain of Youth. So...
we'll start civil war, and then we grab the drugs while they're civil warring.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And make sure to change our names later so it doesn't come up and, you know, bite us in the ass.
I feel like
later.
That might violate the prime directive.
It didn't for the other Admiral guy, and he got promoted, so Picard could have gotten promoted and the Fountain of Youth.
Oh, we could have seen a hairy Picard.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, let's set course for ISIS. And I was like, oh, shit. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. So, Amara, I'm guessing this was not one of your favorites from season one.
I just don't want to sound like a jerk, but it's like, okay, you know when you watch like science movies and you get like so angry? Actually, this would be an example with the whole DNA thing. Yeah. You're just like, why?
Yeah.
That's how I felt with the prosthetics. Is it's just like, if you see something and you know that it's just like, this is just gibberish. Yeah. It felt like the equivalent of like art gibberish.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
So like, it really took you out of the movie?
Oh,
the show.
It totally took me out. Every time I saw it, I was just like, seriously, like, is this guy's first time using liquid latex?
But I also felt like the actor himself wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't. He clearly was like a young person pretending to be old.
Yeah, but he was also just, his character was not likable. He was very bombastic and really over the top.
Yeah, and like, pretty unforgivable. And again, at the end, like when you mentioned like, oh, it's sweet that he said that nice thing. It's like, is this how he got away with crap when he was like working his way up? Like, he just has like hammy compliments and they're like, oh, that admiral.
Yeah.
You know?
That very well could be. Yeah.
But then like, yeah, also Starfleet, you didn't think to investigate how this guy who was your third choice to negotiate managed to succeed where two other stupidly better negotiators failed? Yeah. Like, no one was like batting an eye at that.
It sounds like he did go on to do other negotiations, so he may have built on this record of success.
Or he's just pulling a
Or he's just dealing weapons everywhere.
And he's like, I negotiated a successful treaty between the toads and frogs of Earth. It's like, oh, thank God. Oh my God. The warring's ended, finally. No one really knows because no one investigated it. Yeah.
Yeah, for my mind, too, I don't like this episode. It's not great. And this reminds me a lot of first season, right? It's just kind of hammy. The acting is bad. The prosthetics, like the makeup is not ideal. And the writing is not very tight. But, you know, that's part of the fun for doing the show.
Yeah.
It's going back and looking at these.
For sure. Yeah.
So hopefully,
and also, I don't believe that this wouldn't end with a premise of everyone being like, let's go to the planet where there's the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big omission.
Like, what? especially when you have like, okay, so what was it? They established McCoy was still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to give McCoy the Fountain of Youth? He seems pretty useful. Or Spock.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of people that it'd be like, yeah, it might be worth. I mean, apparently it's 50-50 or whatever, but worth it if you can keep genius like that around.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Right? So that was confusing to me that they're just like, no, better to die with grace, age of 90. And it's like, you do realize that incontinence sometimes comes to that age too, right? Because that's not really graceful.
Well, but I guess we're not going to talk about that. Chair.
What?
That's probably built into the chair, like a little.
Oh, that would explain why it's $10,000. Okay. In the 80s, which is like $30,000 an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
You could buy a house for that much.
So that was our thoughts on Too Short a Season, episode 16 of season 1.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we'll be doing episode 17, When the Bow Breaks.
Right.
And I think we also still have some cups on giveaway. Is that true?
Well, we're recording this like a week before airing, so I don't know yet. So I don't want to say anything wrong. I think so, maybe. As of right now, yes.
Okay.
But we'll see. Also, we're not doing two datas and a lore because our office still smells like dog farts. So we gotta get out of here.
This is a medical evacuation.
So we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
And we'll talk to you next week, I guess.
Next week. Woo.
Yeah.
Bye. And
thanks for all your support. Bye. It looks a little bit like she's about to poop, actually.
No, that's not the pooping stance.
That's not,
we're going to cut that out because you just don't know pooping stance.
What? I know pooping stances.
Backing up.
I've been pooped on plenty of birds or pooped on by.